02-3051, and this is United States versus Jill Wall. Mr. Page? Hello.
May it please the court, Mr. Bass, wherever you are. The district court in this case, first of all, my name is Jeff Page. I represent Jill Wall in these proceedings. The district court in this case classified Ms. Walls as a career offender based on two prior felony drug convictions, one which occurred in June of 1989, the second which occurred in March of 1990. The district court considered these offenses as being not related, and Ms. Walls was thereby sentenced as a career offender.
Could you stop for a moment?
Sure.
Mr. Bass, are you there? Okay, thank you. And can you hear us? Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. As long as that is assessed against Mr. Bass this time, I have no problem.
That's just like me. I think I look like Bill Bauer and I could pass, don't you?
Ms. Walls' offense level as a result of her being classified as a career offender was a 31 with a criminal history category of 6. Her range then was 188 to 235. Following a downward departure by the government, because of substantial assistance, she was sentenced to 120 months in the Bureau of Prisons. It is our position here today that the district court erred and should have treated her prior convictions as related. Clearly, these convictions were not separated by an intervening arrest. It is our position that the two prior offenses involved a common scheme or plan and that the two offenses were consolidated for sentencing. Once again, our position with respect to the common scheme or plan, understandably so, is somewhat contrary to the existing Seventh Circuit case law. Our position is that the common scheme or plan should be defined as sharing a common purpose, which we believe there was a common purpose for these two prior offenses, that being distribution of methamphetamine. There were similar quantity of drugs involved in both of the prior offenses, less than 50 grams of methamphetamine, and there was temporal proximity between the two offenses, that being that these two offenses were committed within 1 year of one another, actually 8 or 9 months of between the two offenses. Obviously, Mr. Bass, in his comments, will point out the Seventh Circuit's current position on this, and that is the more narrow and strict definition of common scheme or plan. I think the courts, quite frankly, with all due respect, should take a closer look at the way the guidelines are applied in these cases. If we use relevant conduct, and I understand that relevant conduct is not an issue here, but if we use relevant conduct provisions, and if Ms. Walls were being subjected to if she was being scrutinized under relevant conduct considerations, there is no doubt that these offenses would qualify her for an enhancement under relevant conduct provisions because of the different definition that is applied for relevant conduct. Same phrase, common scheme or plan, different definition. We believe it should be a uniform definition. If you're going to apply it to relevant conduct, common scheme or plan, you should therefore use the same definition and apply it to common scheme or plan for career offender purposes. If that is done, clearly these cases would be related. Once again, the definition used under relevant conduct purposes would be for two offenses to constitute a common scheme or plan, it needs to be connected by at least one factor, either a common victim, a common accomplice, or a common purpose, or to qualify as part of the same course of conduct, it needs to involve a series of ongoing offenses. Once again, clearly, if she were being scrutinized under relevant conduct provisions, if this definition under relevant conduct applied to Ms. Walls, it would fit. It concerns me.
Almost every drug case where there was more than one happening wouldn't it, under your view?
Well, in this particular case, you've got temporal proximity. You've got a very short period of time in which she was manufacturing or distributing this methamphetamine. You have the same amount of drugs, and if we keep emphasizing this point, if you utilize that, if these two offenses if she were charged, let's say, with the second offense, and the government was attempting to use the first prior offense against her and try to enhance her sentence for the second offense, the courts would undoubtedly consider it related, clearly would consider it related, and her sentence would be enhanced. Why then should she be not allowed, when we're talking about career offender provisions, to utilize that same definition? We have two definitions of same course of common scheme or plan in the guidelines. And each definition inures to the detriment of a defendant. And it, quite frankly, it's unfair and it's not consistent. Our position is that definition should be applied equally across the board. Or if you want to take the career offender and define it that way, I suppose, for relevant conduct, you can say the common scheme or plan, if we're going to define it as jointly planned or one offense necessarily entailing the commission of another offense, let's apply that then to the relevant conduct provision, and let's define it that way under relevant conduct provisions.
What's the showing on the record of the sentencing hearing that the sentencing judge considered the cases sufficiently related for consolidation?
She said the sentencing judge determined that they were not related because I suppose she's using the definitions as outlined by the government, that is jointly planned. I will concede, there's no proof on the record that these offenses were jointly planned, and quite frankly, under that definition, I don't think we can envision a drug case where you can say that they will be jointly planned. It'd be difficult to structure a fact scenario where two drug cases would be jointly planned.
Well, there have been such cases.
Or necessarily entailing the other. This is a typical, I would say that this case is a typical drug scenario. Turning to the second issue, and that is, we believe also that the cases were consolidated for sentencing. Obviously, there was no formal order of consolidation, and quite frankly, at least where I practice in Sangamon County, there is no such thing as a formal order of consolidation.
Now, of course, the district found that Illinois, in fact, does provide for consolidation.
I think
in cases just like hers under 730 ILCS 5/5-4-2, lowercase b in paren.
It allows for counties to transfer cases between the counties and between the circuits. I don't believe that there is any statutory authority that allows for a formal order of consolidation. And quite frankly, again, with all due respect, the formal order of consolidation is a farce, at least where we come from. It just doesn't happen in a practical sense. So therefore, we relate back to, was it functionally consolidated? In other words, factually or logically related? Again, we argue that it is factually and logically related, these two offenses, based on the earlier arguments that I presented to you. Both involve methamphetamine distribution over a very short period of time, involving less than 50 grams of methamphetamine. Then we turn to, was the sentencing joint? Again, the sentences were run concurrent with one another. I understand the case law, and that in and of itself apparently is not enough, although again, we don't have, at least in Sangamon County or in Illinois, a formal order of consolidation. So for those reasons, we believe that the sentence should be reversed and she should not be sentenced as a career offender. I'll reserve the rest of the time for rebuttal.
Thanks very much, Mr. Page. Mr. Bass?
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the Court, Timothy Bass, on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, as I understand Mr. Page's argument, he has, in essence, conceded the state of law in the circuit concerning the test for determining whether or not two prior convictions are related or consolidated sentences. As we note in our brief, it's federal law in this Court that in order for prior sentences to be related, they must involve crimes that were jointly planned from the outset, or that one that necessarily involved the commission of the other. We simply do not have that yet. These two crimes were committed nearly 9 months apart. There's no evidence in the record suggesting that they were jointly planned. one necessarily involve the commission or the other. Similar, for the same reasons, these prior convictions were not consolidated per se. They were involved sentencing on different dates by different judges in different counties. So there's simply no basis to conclude that the sentencing judge effectively injured one sentence for both of the crimes. So under the authority of this circuit, that's the end of the inquiry. Currently, the district court did not clearly err, finding that the prior convictions were unrelated.
What about Mr. Page's argument that the definition of relevant conduct and the construction of prior offenses for purposes of determining career offender status, that the only thing they really have in common is that both inure to the severe detriment of the defendant?
Well, Your Honor, if you consider the policy of the court knows of the Sentencing Reform Act and the sentencing guidelines, one of the purposes of those is to treat more severely recidivist offenders, to sentence more harshly those defendants who prior convictions was a similar offense, or at least a prior direct offense or a crime of violence. And the test that this court has set forth distinguishes between those prior convictions that are different and those convictions that are different but may involve the same type of conduct.
You don't.
This court said in Joy, the test is one of singularity, not similarity. So if the court were to adopt Mr. Page's view that all prior convictions that were part of relevant conduct should be considered as one offense, then what you would be saying is that as long as the defendant commits the same type of offenses, even on different dates, he would essentially be treated as a first-time offender. And that would clearly be contrary to the policy of guidelines of treating recidivist offenders more harshly. I do believe, even if we were to consider this under a relevant conduct test, under the relevant conduct rules, even if prior convictions involved conduct that were relevant conduct to the offense, in most cases, those prior convictions would still count as part of the criminal history score as opposed to a calculation of the offense level. Again, for the same reason that we are inconsistent to the Sentencing Reform Act policy of treating recidivist offenders more harshly. So I think that's the appropriate response to the policy argument Mr. Page advances. Again, if the court were to adopt his view, you would treat defendants with prior convictions for the same offense, essentially as a first-time offense. So, Your Honors, if there are no other questions for the government, we would ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed. And I do thank the court for extending the courtesy of being able to argue my phone.
Thank you, Mr. Bass, and I thank you for speaking loudly enough so we could hear you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Page, you have 2.5 minutes.
Thank you. Just briefly, I wonder, quite frankly, and I understand the position of the government, don't agree with it, but I understand it. I wonder if the guidelines anticipated a situation where you'd have a 51-year-old woman who essentially had two prior offenses within a 9-month period of time to be labeled as a career offender. In my mind, a career offender, I guess, in the layperson's term would be you think of somebody as being a person that has lived their career as breaking the laws, long series of criminal history over a period of time. Once again, we've got a 51-year-old woman who had two prior offenses within a very short period of time. It's simply, the sentence in this case, quite frankly, in our opinion, is not fair.
And, you know, that's an issue that probably needs to be taken up with Congress.
I understand.
You know?
I understand. Thank you.
Mr. Page, thank you. We understand that you were appointed.
Actually, I wasn't, Judge. I was retained in this case.
Oh.
Well, you still did a great job.
Yeah. thank you. And thank you again, Mr. Bass.
Thank you.
And the case will be taken under advisement. Okay.